2 Kings chapter 8, verses 10 to 13. We know that the king of Aram, the king of Syria, is ill. Elisha is in Damascus, and the king sends Hazael to ask Elisha if he, the king, will recover of his illness. In verse 10, Elisha answered, "Go and say to him, 'You will certainly recover, but the Lord has revealed to me that he will, in fact, die.'" I'll break off there. Now, here is a difficulty. Now, there is an alternative in the manuscript, the footnote. "Go and say, 'You will certainly not recover, for the Lord has revealed to me that you will die,'" which is just a plain statement. Now, the manuscript has this alternative. If it stands as in the main text, "Go and say to him, 'You will certainly recover, but the Lord has revealed to me that he will in fact die,'" there are two things I would like to say. As the events unfolded, it was not the illness that killed the king. It was a direct intervention by the hand of Hazael. That is one explanation. Another explanation is, how did Elisha say this? When he spoke to Gehazi earlier in this book, he spoke in an ironical way. Is he speaking ironically here? "You'll recover. Oh no, there's no recovery here because you're going to kill him." Or is it as the manuscript has, the footnote, the direct statement that he will not recover? I don't fudge this. There is an issue here. The truth is, though, that both Hazael and Elisha know what's being said. Elisha and Hazael are both awake. Elisha gazes, fixed gaze, verse 11. He stares at Hazael, so much so that Hazael feels ashamed, and he begins to blush, I'm sure. He's ashamed, he's embarrassed. Then the man of God, Elisha, began to weep. You see, Paul wept, Philippians 3:18. Jeremiah wept. He wrote a book called The Lamentations. Jesus wept over Jerusalem, Luke 19:41. Why? Because of the sorrow that is coming. Because of the rejection of the mercy that God offers. Because of the consequences of the actions that will come. The man of God begins to weep. "Why are you weeping?" Verse 12. "Why is my Lord weeping?" asked Hazael. "Because I know the harm you're going to do to the Israelites. I know that you're going to kill. And you know it. I know you're going to kill the king of Aram. I know you're going to take his place. And then you will war against the Israelites. And I know you will set fire to their 45 places. You will kill their young men with the sword. You will dash their little children to the ground. And you will rip open their pregnant women." "Oh, I can't do that. I'm a mere dog. How can I accomplish such a feat? Because the Lord has shown me that you will become king of Aram." That's what Elisha said to him. The truth is, however we read the manuscript, whatever the tone is being said here, both men know what's going on. They both know that Hazael is now going to take the life of the king of Aram. He's going to take his place, and he's going to wreak vengeance and aggression and bitterness and bloodshed upon the Israelites. Hazael could say, "Well, I've got no power. I've got no strength to do this. I've got no ability." But what he's not saying is, "I've not got the desire." Of course he has the desire. "I haven't got the will or the bottle for it." Oh, he has. He's up for it. He'll engage in such a feat. He just lacks the means, and all the pieces have now fallen into place. The king of Aram has sent for news about his illness. But it's going to be a change of dynasty here. What do we see from all this? All the pieces of the jigsaw are fit together. But I see this. God is sovereign. However else we read these passages, whatever tone Elisha used, we know what's going on here. God is sovereign, but man is responsible. Hazael did it. The king did not die of his illness. He was murdered, as we shall see. The responsibility was Hazael. The sovereignty was God. The accountability is Hazael. But God is on the throne. Aram had misplaced his trust in Hazael. He trusted him. But this man was going to kill him. I say again, God is sovereign. Man is responsible and accountable. Now, those who depend on logic and insist that logic must always triumph will have to take their stand. I am prepared to argue that I, as a sinner, am responsible and accountable before God. But God is sovereign. And I say the same to you. God is sovereign, but you are answerable. However you read this passage, those true truths, they are one truth. God is on the throne. He rules. His will is done. He is sovereign. He's not tainted by sin. He stands supreme. But you, my friend, and I, all men, all women, we are responsible, accountable before God. Never forget that. God rules, but you are answerable for your sin, as I am answerable for mine. May these solemn thoughts challenge us today. Make peace with God while the time is still here. Jesus ready stands to save. And whatever the logic and whatever the sorting out of that logic and the reconciling of the difficult bits here, remember this, you are answerable and God is sovereign.